You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Stoked to be here with you guys. I actually want to go over a couple things with you before I get started off on this, but I want to let you know that your online family, like, you are part of our family. And even though we're not necessarily there personally, like meeting up like we normally do, man, that just because the physical form of the church has changed, the spiritual form hasn't. In fact, if anything, it's only gotten stronger. It's only gone short. What was meant to break us is actually making us stronger. And so we're just stoked to have you guys with us here tonight as our online family. And I'm an interactive person. Maybe it's because I'm a millennial. I don't know. But I really want to interact with you. And so I actually have an iPad up here that is going to be, I'm going to be able to scroll through this. So if I say raise your hand, or if I say, oh, let me hear an amen or something like that. I mean, you can yell it if you want, or you can raise your hand where you're at. But you can also drop in an emoji in there, the little hand raised emoji, or amen, or glory to God, or look, praise Jesus, you know, and have that moment. Because I know that when we're here at this moment, as we're praying or we're doing these things, it usually there's always that opportunity where we're like, just God is moving and we're feeling it, and we'd like to give a shout out, a praise to Jesus. And so I don't want to necessarily ever restrict that. And so this is a cool way that we get to do that. But what I'm excited about tonight is that, well, actually, before I even get to that, I was standing back there and I realized something. In all honesty, that I didn't realize, now that this is our second week of not meeting personally, I didn't realize how much that I truly miss the high fives and the handshakes, how I took that for granted, the just in passing of saying hello and just the little side hugs and all the things that we used to be able to do. I didn't realize how much I truly took that for granted. And so I just want you guys to know that we truly miss you. We truly do miss you, and we love you, but no, we're praying for you. We're here for you. You are not alone going through this. If you need anything, reach out for us. Like, we want to pray with you. We want to be there for you. We want to connect with you. And now I know we don't get to do it personally, but man, we still want to do that. So it's just, please reach out to us, because we're here for you. We're praying for you. I promise you that. And so it's amazing. Now, normally we do start off with a joke. Because we're online and we're doing things a little bit different, I decided to change it up just a little bit. And I wanted to show you some 4 posts that have literally made me chuckle recently. That literally just, I thought they were great. And so the first one, if you guys want to go and throw that one first one up, right? It says, my cousin wanted cake and ordered one. Told the bakers to write whatever they wanted because it was just for her anyways. So the cake says, we get to play America's favorite game. Am I hungry or bored? Right? I don't know about you, but that's been me lately. It's like, I'm going to eat something right now. It's 10 o'clock at night, Sean. Why are you eating? I don't know. So is it hunger or is it being bored? And so that was huge. Let's go to the next one. It says, day 6 of quarantine, C-section went smooth. The cuties are in great shape and mother is recovering. I thought that was amazing. Now one of the coolest part about it is the first comment that was actually on this said vitamin C section. I just thought that was great. It was awesome. It was good, right? It was a cute one. It was awesome. Let's go to the next one here. March every year except for March during quarantine, right? When we're supposed to be inside and not being outside is when it's absolutely gorgeous, and it has been like that lately. It's kind of funny, and so that is good. And let's go to the last one, probably my favorite. It says, our 5-year-old seems to have deemed himself the local virus warden. Over the fence to our neighbor, Gene, you need to go inside. Okay, I will in a minute. You're old, and there's a virus. I'm not that old, thank you. How old are you, Gene? I'm 68. That is nearly 70, Gene. Like, I just imagine a little 5-year-old saying that. I thought that was so cute and absolutely adorable. And I just want to encourage you guys, for me personally, this laughter on the feed has been amazing. Like, because I'm scrolling through all the evil that's going on, right? And how, you know, some grandma got knocked down because she was on the toilet paper aisle and there's a mad dash or things like that. I'm hearing about, like, I'm reading the things. It's like, oh, you know, people won't agree and we can't come to a peace to be able to approve things. And, like, there's just hearing all these things here. And this business is closing its doors permanently, not just because of the virus, but they're actually permanently closing because they can't afford this. I mean, just... It was so great to be able to laugh and break up all that. And so that was my joke for the night. Typically on Wednesdays, we like to do a more kind of a verse-by-verse style Bible study. However, because we just finished up, Pastor Russell did a great job last week. He finished up John 21. He finished up the book of John. And Pastor Doug was like, I want to kick off the next one. And so I kind of got stuck in the middle. And so, but Pastor Doug was like, hey, you get a freebie. Now, what a freebie is basically that it's not assigned to a series. You're not speaking into a series, or you're not kind of following a book of the Bible. You had to have like, hey, what is God putting on your heart? And normally I love those because I have that sermon that's been sitting in your back pocket, and like it's just burning a hole in your heart, and you can't wait to like share it. And I typically have that. However, this time, like, I was like, all right, Lord, I got this sermon. It is so good. It's so good. And I whipped it out. And Lord was like, no, not yet. And so I don't know about you guys, but like, whenever you get like, you're all excited about something, you're like, yes, I'm going to go do this. You want to start a ministry. Or you're like, hey, I'm going to go pray for this person. And you're like, hey, can I pray for you? And they're like, no. Or God's like, hey, not yet. It's like, oh man, it's like a little disheartening. Like, oh, okay, all right. Lord, I know you're here still, right? And if you've ever experienced that, just go ahead and throw a hand raise emoji in there, because I want to see that, because it's almost like bumming, right? But the thing was, is God was like, hey, no, I have something else I want you to speak. He's like, I want to deliver a message for this. And so, after I was praying about it and really kind of seeking all that stuff out, I realized that God's timing is always better than mine. His messages are always better than mine, right? My messages are always the bombs, the ones that never do good, right? Because, come on, seriously, right? It's not God's, right? So it's just one of those things that I don't know if I've given one ever, but it's still, you know, it's my own mind working on me. But the thing is God's timing is always perfect. And so, and I remember what Pastor Russell said last week, which was so good. He said that God is more about obedience than repentance, right? And that was so good. And so I'm going to be obedient, and we have a completely different message tonight. Let me go ahead and pray, and we'll kick this off. Father God, continue to move, continue to anoint, Father God. I pray, Lord, that just because we're not physically together, Lord, does not stand a chance against your church, God. Just because we're not congregating together does not stand a chance against your church, God, that your church will still prevail. And I'm not just talking about this particular congregation. I'm talking about the church. The big C is going to conquer. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to speak as you already have, Lord. Continue to move. Continue to anoint, Father. I pray that maybe someone's going to overhear a message. They're going to overhear something that you speak tonight, Lord, that they're not even trying to watch the message, but they're overhearing someone else watch it, and you're going to move through that time, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, all honor, all glory, all praise is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was praying and seeking God, and I was like, God, what do you want me to say? What is it that your people need to hear right now? And immediately my mind went to faith. And it was like faith over fear. I've been seeing that everywhere, like faith over fear. And so I immediately went right to that. And I was like, all right, let's look at faith. And so I started looking in the Old Testament about faith. And I started looking at all these different Hebrew and Aramaic words. And as I was breaking it down and kind of doing a word study of the word faith, as I was breaking that down, there were some words that kept sticking out to me. And it was belief, trust, and loyalty. Those words just kept popping up. In fact, the Old Testament, the Hebrew language, has a handful of terms that develop the fundamental ideas of belief, trust, and loyalty. Now, I'm going to totally butcher these words because Hebrew and Aramaic is not my strong point. However, I'm going to try this. It says, the root batak, or batak actually, expresses an individual's feeling of safety and so means to feel secure. Does anyone have a need to feel secure right now? Like, are you feeling insecure with not knowing what next week holds, not knowing what next month holds, not knowing, like, what's going to happen tomorrow right now? Like, if you're feeling that, that's amazing that God is saying, hey, no, this is what's here for you, right? And so then the term chashik describes the state of one in need of help who is dependent on another for protection. So good, right? It's not us. I'm so dependent on God right now, right? I need his protection. I need his provision. I need his anointing, right? It's just this reliance on God. I love that word. And then it was the terms kaval, yakal, and chaka. Shakal, probably. Or chaka. I don't know. Express persistence, a simple hope, or awaiting for. And that spoke so huge to me. It says, are we persisting? Are we hoping? Are we waiting? Oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful to hear that. Hebrews 11:1 hits it so well, right? Because it's talking about faith. This is, whenever you talk about faith, this is the scripture we get to go to. And it says, now faith is the assurance, not the, oh, okay, maybe, right? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Beautiful scripture. First thing I saw in that was the unseen. We talked about the needing to be secure, the needing to be able to know that we're in God's arms, that he's the one that's providing for us, right? That we get to wait on him. And I love that. And so as we look at things that are unseen, I want to let you know something that was really kind of on my heart the last several weeks is that sometimes, like I remember back when I was originally saved, and I even remember talking with some of the guys, and Pastor Doug even, and we talked about how in the very beginning when we first got saved, it was like every prayer was answered. We saw all this amazing things happening. Like we're like, oh God, I need to speak. I need to see you right now. I need to speak you right here. Like here, come on, let's do this. And like God was doing these amazing things, right? And then we kind of went through a season where it wasn't seem like he was speaking as much. And it wasn't that he wasn't speaking. It was just, he was disciplining. And hear me out here. It wasn't disciplining as in, hey, you did wrong. I'm now going to come and spank you. It's more the fact that he's building up discipline in us to go, hey, I want you to seek a little harder. I want you to keep knocking, right? He's not just saying, hey, I want to knock a little bit. I want to keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking. I want to, like, come on, let's have this moment. And I love that because when I first was enduring that, I didn't love it. It did not feel comfortable. It did not feel comfortable, but God kind of gave me this picture of a baby. If you are carrying around a 5-year-old and you don't ever let him try to walk for himself, ever, you've never let him try to go on his own, you just keep carrying him, then what ends up happening a lot of times is they're not going to develop the muscles and the leg strength and the stuff that they need to be able to do what they're supposed to do. Your child will never walk if you've never given them an opportunity to stand. And this is kind of what this is talking about. Like, I love that the unseen. I don't know, God, I don't know what you're doing in this right now, but I know that you're doing something. I know that you're working. I know that you're doing something through this. And so it's an amazing look that, hey, you may not see God right now. You may not see how he's going to use this for our good. You may have just going through some of the hardest times in your life right now. You may have a family member or you yourself or someone maybe in the hospital right now going through something absolutely hard, and I don't want to ever talk down to that and say, like, you're not going through it, your pain's not real, but I will tell you that God is doing something. He may not have caused it, but man, he's going to Romans 8:28 it somehow, some way. And so it's amazing to see that even if it's unseen, we know God is working, right? Now, I remember Stephen Furtick said a quote. I listened to a message from Stephen Furtick the other day. It was really powerful, and so there's going to be a couple quotes from him. But there was something he said. I want to say it exactly. He says, distance in our feelings bring us deeper in our faith. Come on, right? It does not feel comfortable if we're not happy about it, but distance in our feelings bring us deeper in our faith. Because if we base everything off our feelings, then I'll tell you right now, then if I'm basing everything off of my feelings, then my world is a mess. Right? Because I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling isolated. I'm feeling alone from people. Like no one loves me. Like no one's checked on me, right? Which isn't true, but the enemy is trying to get at me for that, right? And my feelings, if I just went off my feelings instead of the promises of God, then where would I be? I love that. That is so powerful. Now, one of the coolest things that happened the other day, it's a little God story. My little sister Miriam, she tagged me in something, and she tagged me that her creative pastor is doing a little challenge called #createbeauty2020. And one of the things that he's basically doing is he's like, in this time where there's so many things on your feed, there's so many things on your social media, there's so many things around that is trying to constantly instill fear, instill panic, instill distrust. It's like there are all these things trying to instill these things on you. He's like, if you have the opportunity to create in any way, music, graphics, physical art and painting and words or whatever, if you have the ability to create in any way, he's like, create beauty instead. And I loved it. And so I created a graphic. And the graphic title was, There is Always Hope. There is always hope. And that graphic had that. And I there's a scripture about hope that I want to share with you because it really spoke to me. And so I was like, okay, hope, all right, let's look at this hope thing, right? So first God was, I was like, we're going to talk about faith for this message. And then God was, I was like, okay, God, but what about hope? What if I throw hope in there too? And God was like, yeah, hope is good too. We need hope. Yeah, totally. Let's do it. Let's talk about hope, right? Because God is that, he knows that sometimes you have to repeat it to me because I'm a little stubborn. But it was Romans 15, 13. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I don't know what the coronavirus is doing. I don't know what our government's doing. I don't know what the stores are doing. I don't know what the person next to me is doing. I don't know what's in their thoughts and their minds and their hearts. But man, I know that God is still working and God is in control. And so I can abound in hope knowing that. Even though I don't know what's going on in the unseen, I know that God is working. And I thought that was powerful. Now, what's really cool about it, and this is what, like, I'm tying it all together, I promise. It's all going to make sense, right? Is that I, you know, we're doing a Bible study with our youth, and we're going through it, and we're doing the daily reading. And I was posted that graphic, and that morning I think we did Ezekiel 44 and Romans like 14, I think. And we did that, and we talked about it. And then I saw Pastor Jim post the exact same scripture, Romans 15, 13. And I was like, oh, that is so powerful. Like, wow, God, you are speaking. And then I scrolled down a little bit, and I just saw like all these people posting the same scripture. And I was like, okay, God, you're either doing a really amazing work of God right now and all these people, or there's something I'm missing. And as I went back and looked, the app and the daily reading card got off just by a day. And so it was actually that day was that scripture. And I had no clue. And so God was speaking to me saying, hey, in this moment, hope. And so we have faith, right? Which is important. We need to have faith. We need to have that assurance, that hope, that, hey, I may not see it, but I know it's going to happen. I have hope. And then we need to make sure that, like this one, I love it. Because when you're near the Holy Spirit, it says the power of the Holy Spirit will allow you to abound in hope. Hope comes from God, comes through a vessel, Holy Spirit, another person who the Holy Spirit's in them speaking to you. And then it just allows you to abound in hope in the face of adversity, in the face of fear, in the face when this world is telling you that you need to be scared out of your mind. It's like, I can have hope. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking so strong that I can be hopeful, not because of what I see, but because of what I know. I know that God is still working, right? This was so good. Now, I want to break down hope a little bit with you. So we have faith, we have hope. I want to talk hope just a little bit. Hope is commonly used to mean a wish. Its strength is the strength of the person's desire, right? I hope that I get that raise. I hope I don't get laid off, right? We use that word in that way, and it's not bad. It's just we use it. But in the Bible, hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is not in our desire, but it's in God's faithfulness. Right? A biblical hope is not talking about my desire that I want and the strength comes from how badly I want it, but it's coming from God's faithfulness. That is huge. Can I tell you something? You cannot stand on your news feed. You cannot stand on your Facebook feed, but you can stand on the word of God and you can stand on God's promises. Right? You may not know, what is God going to do? Stand on his promises. Stand on his word. What has he already done for you? And keep doing that, right? Because it's based off of God's faithfulness. If we truly want to have hope, it is based off of God's faithfulness and not our own. It's not about, hey, how badly do I want this to happen? As much as it is has God ever let me down? Is God faithful? Is God saying in his word he's going to do these things? And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. It's powerful. Reminds me of Joshua 3. The people of Israel are about to go into a place that they've never been to before. They're about to go into an area, and they're here, and they're trying to get ready to cross the Jordan, and they've never done this before. And it's this stepping into the unknown, stepping into what could happen, what could be on the other side, what could be there. Sounds kind of familiar, right? It's like, what could be there in this moment? And here in this moment, they have two things that they are absolutely just confident on, is that they knew the presence of the Lord was with them, right? Because they had the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. Where the Ark of the Covenant went, that is where God was. And so they had to always bring it with them. And the cool thing about that is Jesus died and broke the concept of the God's can only go to the Ark of the Covenant, but instead now he can come to his people, right? Because of Jesus' death, because of his dying for our sins, because of his cleansing, because of his forgiveness, now the presence of God rests in us and with us, right? But because we have that, it's cool that the Ark of the Covenant, yeah, they had the presence of God. They knew whatever they were going to cross over to, they would be good because they had the Ark of the Covenant. We get to say that whatever we're going to cross over into, whatever we're going to face, whatever we're going to come against, we can say in confidence, hey, I surrender my life to Jesus. I know that the presence of God will be with me, right? So right now in your house, you're thinking, man, I miss church. Yes, we miss you too. Absolutely. And it's not the same without you here. Absolutely, it's not. We miss you greatly. But I guarantee you where you're at right now, you can be in confidence to know, hey, the presence of God is with me. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you and walk through you. This is what you can guarantee wherever you're at. And I love that. I love that. Now, one of the other things they did is they stood on the reminders of God. They stood on the reminders of God. Because what they did, as soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they grabbed some rocks along the way, the riverbed. They grabbed some rocks and they started to build an altar. And those stones represented what God had done. It was an altar to remind themselves what they can stand on from God's word. What they can remind, hey, God got us out of this. God got us through this. God got us through this, right? And we can focus. Now think about this. They can sit there and focus on it and say, hey, we wandered the desert for 40 years, right? We wandered the desert, it was just way too much. Like, I can't believe we did all this. I can't believe we went through all this, right? Like, seriously, we went through a lot. And they could have focused on that. They could focus on, hey, I've been quarantined for how many days? They can focus on, hey, I haven't been able to get to go do this. I haven't been able to do that. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bill next week. I don't know what's going on. Like I can focus on those things, or I can focus on and say, hey, I remember when God got me through this. I remember when God did this. I remember when God supernaturally provided this. I remember how God came through in a mighty way, like those little altar stones and just doing that. So I love how these people literally had two things going for them. They knew that the presence of God was with them, and they knew the promises that God had for them. That is what hope is. Like, we can stand on that because of what God has done. It's quite beautiful if you ask me. Now, here I was in a rhythm, and I was like, all right, God, faith, yes, faith, woohoo, right? Hope, yes, hope, awesome. I was like, all right, what's next, Lord? Love, because isn't that how the scripture goes? Faith, hope, love. And Jesus was like, yes, finally, you get it. And I was like, oh, and you know, I was kind of, okay, you want to talk about love? You want to discuss that? And God was like, absolutely. He's like, I'm glad you finally got it, Sean. Remember I told you I was stubborn? So he said, you finally got it. And now, he says, what else does that scripture say? And I said, well, it says that the greatest of these is love. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 with you. And we're going to read through the entire chapter together. Because it's important that we discuss this. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Do you feel the power in these words? Oh my gosh, it's bringing me to tears, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide in these three things. Like, come on, get these three things. Faith is important. Hope is important. Yes, you need these, but the greatest of these is love. And I feel like right now, this is what we need more than ever. The church should be filled with love. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about God's people. When was the last time you called that coworker, you know, the one that usually is rude, the one that usually comes in hungover? Have you called them to see how they're doing? Well, that'd be kind of awkward. We never really talked. I understand that, but love would. Right? It's like, oh, okay, well, have you even knocked on your neighbor's doors and see how they're doing? Right? And this is, I'm not trying to condemn anyone, but I'm trying to call the church to action. We need to move in this. This is what it says. It's like, if you can have faith to move the mountains, yes, coronavirus is going to be over. We have faith. But if you're not loving people, you're just a noisy gong. This is important. Like, we need to love. You could have all the knowledge. You can be informing people, hey, this isn't really how it is. This is what the stats are. This is what this is. You could be posting all of that on your Facebook. But if you don't have love, you're missing the point. God's people is not just standing back and being like, hey, what happens, happens. God's in control. No, God's people should be going, hey, I'm going to text that person and say, hey, how you doing? You know, I know that, you know, you're going through things probably. I know that we haven't been able to work. Like, I just want to see how you're doing. Because I have faith, hope, and love because of Jesus. Jesus inside my heart, because Jesus is in my life. Because of that, I have faith, I have hope, and I have love. Can you imagine what it's like going through this quarantine, this stuck in our homes, to not being able to work, not being able to do your finances, not knowing where you're going to get food, not like could you imagine going through that without Jesus, without faith, without hope, and without love? This is powerful. And it's like, but you know, honestly, they're not going to want to hear what I have to say. That's fine. It's not always about what you have to say as much as what they have to say. We need to listen. Love is patient. Love is kind. I would add, love is not waiting for its turn to speak, but instead truly listening, right? Love is so powerful. And this is so huge. And I've read the end of the book, right? I've read the end of the book, so to speak. I know how everything turns out. I know who wins. It's like, you know, this is not too long ago, I remember I was like, oh, man. They're like, yeah, we're down by three. And I was like, oh, down by three? And he's like, don't tell me. I have a recording at home. I want to finish watching it at home. And I was like, okay. And it's like that. I already know the end. I already know how the score pans out. I can have faith. I can have hope. I can have love because I know. I understand this. Like the Holy Spirit in me has led me to this, and I know this, and I can have faith, hope, and love because of this, and I know what Jesus did. But could you imagine what it's like to go through this without Jesus? Like, man, that's desperate. Instead of faith, hope, and love, what do you have? Fear, hopelessness, selfishness. When I go through the grocery store, what do I see? Fear, hopelessness, selfishness. This world is running rampant because they lack Jesus and they need faith, hope, and love. And who's going to give it to them? The church. But the church can't meet. No, exactly. Good thing the church isn't a building. The church is his people, and his people can love one another, and they can go and show them the love of Christ. They can go and say, hey, I have a little extra toilet paper. I have an extra roll. I don't know if you've been able to get out. I know you're kind of elderly. Like, hey, here's this. Or do you need a ride to the grocery store? Can I take you to do this? Like, can I be there for you in some way, somehow? Why? Oh, just because that's what Jesus would have done. Because Jesus has prompted me to not have fear, to not have hopelessness, to not be selfish, but instead, he's given me a spirit of faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And so I just want to share that with you. Like, that is what Jesus is calling us to do. And I know that me, I fail at that. I fall short to that. And when I was doing this study, I'm looking and breaking down faith, hope, and love, and especially love. I see hope. I see, yes, I may have fallen short, but I could actually do something. And what's funny about this is this isn't a new message. What do I mean by that? I didn't steal from anyone else. It's not this is some old message that God spoke to me and I just regurgitated it. No, for 3 weeks I've been working on some shirts. We were trying to come out with this idea and was thinking about releasing some new shirts, some new church merch. And I was gonna release these shirts or try to design some shirts at least to have something to present to the staff. And I'm going through it and I was praying and I felt like God was telling me to do these shirts. And the first shirt was, there was gonna be just three shirts, and the first shirt was just gonna have one word on it and some cool graphic. It's all about that cool graphic, just joking. It's the word that has the power. But in this moment, I was looking at this idea and God prompted me in this, and the first shirt was just gonna say faith. And then the second shirt I was designing, in fact, I think that one's actually done to present, but then everything happened with coronavirus and quarantining and church online and all these things. And so I may have took a backseat to it, but for 3 weeks, I've been working on a shirt that said hope. And the last shirt was gonna be a beautiful shirt. And all it said was love. And so here, I'm facing, what is it that you want to speak, God? What is it you want to say? What is it that you want your people to know and to be reminded of that, hey, we don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in hopelessness. We don't have to walk in this feeling of selfishness, but instead we can walk in faith, hope, and love. And in the entire time, for 3 weeks before the coronavirus ever hit, God was still speaking that message to me, preparing me for a time as this. And God was so amazing when God finally let me get a hold of it, or me and my stubbornness got in the way. But either way, I finally got a hold of it. And I worshiped God and I praised God, because you know what? We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to walk in hopelessness. We don't have to walk in selfishness. It's not about taking care of us. But he who refreshes others shall be refreshed. He says, seek me first and all else will be added to you. Like, I will take care of you. He says what? He's like, I will provide all of your needs. Like I can stand on the promises of God. Why? Because not because of what the world is telling me or what because I'm feeling in this moment. I can stand on the promises of God because he's done it before. He's doing it now and he'll still do it again tomorrow. That's what is amazing about this, is we get to have that. Guys, I love you so much. I was gonna look at this a whole lot more than I thought I did tonight, and I apologize. But I will tell you guys that right now, in this time of being alone, the enemy has always wanted to get us alone. He's always wanted us to back out of church. And we get to turn around and say, hey, Satan, you took away the building, but man, you forgot to do something about God's people, because God's people is mobilizing and the church is growing stronger and the Lord is getting proclaimed to areas of their homes, to areas in cars and areas of everywhere. Like God is being proclaimed far more than I'd probably say he did before in some building. And so I will tell you right now, that I am excited for this season that we're in. And I don't want to belittle, because I know some people who personally have loved ones in the hospital due to this coronavirus. And I'm not going to say that God did it. And I'm not going to say he didn't do it. I don't know. It's one of those great mysteries that I'll never know. But I will tell you this. What the enemy meant to harm us, God is using for good. And so what you, right now, you were maybe you're sad because you got laid off of work and you don't know where the finances are going to come. But hey, you've got that extra time you've got with your spouse. You got that extra time you got to do those honeydews, whether you see that as a blessing or not. I was getting a little stir crazy because honestly, me and my family, I love them dearly. Man, I love my family dearly. If anyone hurt my family, like you'd see something come out of me like something else. I love my family so much. But the thing is this, is when you get different personalities together, and we have different personalities, what may empower me, inspire me, or excite me may annoy them and may not be what they like. And as our things start to go in, and we start to have these moments of feeling this way, or like, hey, I just gotta get out of the house for a second. I gotta go walk, check the mail. I gotta do something. Like when we have that, I had to refocus my focus. I had to look at my perspective completely different. And I had to see that no matter what the enemy is doing, no matter what is happening in this world, I know that God is for me and that he's blessing me. And so I looked at it and I changed perspective and I said, what blessings are happening right now? Well, I get to disciple my household in a completely different way. They get to see me, the guy who shows up in church and works and does here. They get to see what I do at home. They get to see that dad doesn't just show up to a church and sit in an office, but dad does something for Jesus, like how I get on my face. They get to see that. They get to see who I am. They get to, my kids get to see, yes, they're going through this isolation too, and they're feeling lost, they're feeling alone without their school friends, without their church friends, but they get to see God move in this moment. And I got to seeing, like, how much more time am I getting with my teenagers that I may not get in the future? How much more time that I get to be involved in their life daily when there's gonna be times when we hardly see each other because they're so busy in school? I get to enjoy my family in a way that I never got to before. We get to be together, and that's what's amazing. And it blows me away that I even took it for granted in a single second, and I started to get irritated because of their idiosyncrasies and things like that. But instead, when I changed my perspective of, hey, wait, look at this differently. Let's look at this through a perspective of faith, hope, and love. And I see that God is for me and he's blessing me, and this is a blessing in disguise. And so I just want to pray with you real quick. Father God, thank you so much for what you're doing. God, I'm not going to say, I can't say this is from you and I can't say this isn't, but I can guarantee no matter what is happening that God, you're still doing something. And I can stand in faith, and I can stand in hope, and I can stand in love, knowing for a fact that you're doing something. And so, God, I just pray right now, Lord, that you mobilize your church, God, that you stir up a fire in people that have never been there before, that you stir up a hunger for your word, because the number one reason why people didn't get in the word is they said, I don't have enough time. Well, guess what? There's tons of time now. So, God, I pray that you put a hunger in for them, the word, God, to just want to know you more, God. Father, I just thank you for this, Lord. I thank you for the fact that we still get to have church. I thank you for the fact that we get to mobilize the church. God, I pray right now, Lord, that your just spirit will continue to move through them, that it's not going to end when the service ends, but instead they're going to say, okay, now that I have this, now that I know what I need to operate, what am I going to do about it, God? I love what Pastor Russell said. It's not about repentance, it's about obedience. And so, Lord, let us be obedient to this, God, that you're speaking and you're doing this. So, Lord, let us go out in that, God. Father, I pray that maybe they're going to send a letter to their neighbor. Maybe they're going to send a text message. Maybe they're going to send an email. They're going to do a Facebook message. Maybe they're going to do a staff-wide email to everyone and just say, hey, I want to let you know, like, I'm thinking about you, and how are you doing? I want to know how you are. I want to share some love with you. I want to share some faith and some hope, because the truth is I can only imagine how horrible and alone it must feel if you don't have that. Lord, I am so grateful and thankful for your church. The building is nice, but it's about the people. I'm so grateful that you're mobilizing your people. Think about it. There'd be a couple hundred people gathered in one location in a service, worshiping together, and it's power in that. God, you're moving in that. But right now, we get to be a couple hundred people in a couple hundred different locations, spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth that would not have been reached before. So Lord, yes, the enemy meant to take us out, but little did he know that he miscalculated, and your people are coming back stronger than ever. They're coming back more with the word. They're coming back more hungry. They're leading their families. They're gonna leave and lead and disciple their kids. They're gonna have a new movement of God. I believe that there is gonna be a whole revival that is coming, because what the enemy thought he'd shut us up, little did he know that it's gonna make us speak louder. So Father God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your faith and your hope. Continue to anoint us. Continue to move in this, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because we know how it all ends. And if you're standing there tonight, if you're listening to this, and maybe you're overhearing it, or maybe you're having someone else invited you to this stream, or maybe there's a moment where you just realize that, hey, I need to look something up because I'm afraid, or maybe because I don't know what's going on. And you got onto this live stream in a completely different way. And you heard this concept of faith, hope, and love that comes from Jesus, and you don't know what that feels like. You haven't experienced that because you've never experienced Jesus. If you're realizing in this moment, I can't do this alone, I need Jesus, I can't face this fear of what is going on, then I pray right now, wherever they're at, God, wherever they're at, that you just move on them right now, God. Father, I pray that they have this moment where they just say, God, I need you. I can't do this alone, Lord. My sins, I've messed up. Please forgive me. Come inside of the Lord. Like, give me faith, give me hope, give me love. Father, lead them in that moment wherever they're at. And if you made that decision, and if you decided that that is me, I need you, Jesus, then put it into the comments, email us, get that information to us, because we want to walk with you through that. And if you put it in the comments, I guarantee you there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are going to be excited for you, that are going to be praying for you. So it's not a moment of feeling ashamed, but instead it's a moment of empowerment where God's people gets to love you. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, and we praise you. All honor and glory is yours. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We love you guys. God bless. We'll see you here, there, or in the air, or online.